evening. It's 6:02, and I will call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, October 1st, 2019. May we have a roll call, please?
Chair Martin?
Here.
Vice Chair Shiro?
Here.
Commissioner Maravilla?
Here.
Commissioner Montes?
Here.
And Commissioner Sage?
Here.
So please stand and follow Ms. Montes in our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a light agenda here on our meeting tonight. Is anyone on the commission want to revise the order of anything or have any preliminary comments on the agenda as it stands? Seeing none, I will move on. The next item here is a public comment period that is typical at the Planning Commission. We do at the beginning of each meeting. Invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, and suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on this agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. And the Brown Act does restrict the Commission from taking any formal action on matters not published on the agenda. Is there anyone in the audience tonight that would like to address the Commission on an item not included on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, I will close the public comment period here. Do we have any additional written communications?
None this evening.
Very good. Thank you. On our consent agenda, we have one item, which is the approval of the minutes from the September 3rd meeting. Hopefully, my fellow commissioners have had an opportunity to read those minutes, and I'm happy to entertain a motion to approve.
I move to approve.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Passes unanimously. We don't have any public hearing items on the agenda tonight, and we have a single non-public hearing item, and it's a consideration of a finding of substantial conformance regarding guest parking at subarea 2 of the East Cherry Avenue specific plan. Wathan Castanos Homes is the applicant, and Director McClish, may we have our staff report, please?
Certainly. Thank you, Chair Martin. Tonight, we're here to review a particular condition of approval or a provision in the specific plan that was included for the project, and we're asking you to make a determination about substantial conformance. This is regarding guest parking, a guest parking stall in subarea 2 of the East Cherry Avenue specific plan. A little bit of background, the East Cherry specific plan was approved along with the subdivision for subarea 2 in January 2017. And during the many deliberations for that project, the Planning Commission, in their recommendation to the City Council, included a certain provision relating to parking for the alley-loaded lots in the subarea 2 subdivision. And this is in response to concerns from the neighborhood about impacted parking in the neighborhoods, particularly street parking along East Cherry, and just general concerns that we had heard for several years about parking, particularly guest parking in new subdivisions where there wasn't much room. And these particular lots having alley-loaded garages didn't provide a whole lot of extra space for guest parking, but for East Cherry Avenue itself. So the provision was recommended by the Planning Commission and included, indeed, when the Council approved the specific plan, that not only two spaces would be required in an enclosed garage, but an additional one space per lot would be required on-site for the alley-loaded units. As often is the case when we approve a set of plans and designed in the entitlement phase, and then we go through and when we're approving actual improvement plans or construction job drawings, some things look a little different out there in the field than they do on the design plans, and this is one case. The developer realize that the provision of concrete or even a grasscrete area in the next to the garage really took up all the available backyard space for these alley-loaded units, and they looked around for some options to redesign and still meet the condition. And that's what's being proposed this evening. The driveway provision per the municipal code, a stall is 9 by 18. The alley-loaded driveways provided the width necessary to get into the garage, but not the width necessary to fit a car and have the 12-foot unobstructed access required to get into the garage, which is required by the municipal code. So the proposal this evening is to simply widen the driveway enough so that the 12-foot path is unobstructed, you can get into the garage, and you have room to park a guest vehicle in the driveway. And particularly, it allows the standard 9-foot wide parking stall with an additional 3-foot 4-inch area to the property line. This is the vesting tentative map when it was approved, and I'm going to just use my mouse, it's easier. These are the alley loaded lots. Up top is East Cherry Avenue, so the alley comes through here, and these are the lots that take access to their garages from the alley. And the proposal is shown here, where the driveway is indeed widened. There's a note here for a rolling gate, and that was proposed on some, but it's not being proposed now. And the area's widened again just enough so that you can access the garage amply and still have plenty of room to park. And this is, again, instead of placing the space elsewhere on these kind of smaller lots. And so I make substantial conformance findings fairly routinely on some matters, but when it is specifically written in to either a condition or a plan by which we have to follow for the development and added by the Planning Commission, I take this to you in order for you to review, recall the reasonings, and see if the alternative design that still provides the one spot per space meets the intent intent of that requirement. And the applicant team or portion thereof is here this evening, and they're happy to talk about their reasoning to bring this before you this evening and also give you a brief update on the construction going on right now at Creekstone. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you. Before we allow the applicant to come up and add their 4 cents to this process, when I have the commissioners give it an opportunity to ask questions for staff, some of these questions may end up being appropriate for the applicant, and they can be able to answer them, you know, when they come up. Commissioner Sage, you have a couple questions.
Yes, excuse me. Yes, I do. The impression that I got from staff report led me to believe that perhaps back when this was originally proposed in 2016, that there was some particular issue in addition to the requirement or the need to get off or parking off street that resulted in the original design. Is there any particular other reason for the initial design?
Regarding the provision for the one extra guest parking space per lot, it's simply because there's no street parking available on that alley. And the Cherry Avenue neighbors were concerned that all the street parking would be taken.
Okay. So in this case, any solution that retains the parking on each property pretty well solves a problem.
That's That's what I see. I see it's a good alternative if the commission feels that it does accommodate the reason for placing the extra space in on these lots. Now, it's in the driveway still.
Yeah.
So that's before you.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Montez?
My only question right now is regarding sub-area 2. Is sub-area 2 unique to the alley-loaded units? Is that sub-area 2 right there?
Yes, this whole subdivision, the 52 residential lots and a park, is sub-area 2 of a 3-sub-area specific plan. The sub-area 1 is shown here. It's the Japanese Welfare Association property that is undeveloped at this time. And sub-area 1 is the location where Rugged Radio is planning to build or starting to build.
Okay, thank you.
That's it. Commissioner Shiro?
I have no questions for you.
I just have questions because I wasn't part of the commission during that time. Where was the original spot supposed to be?
The original spot, I believe, was supposed to be just simply off to the side of the...
So not in front of the garage, basically.
Correct. And their plans still show, but for the model plans, still show, including the... for the non-model plan, still show it taking up some backyard space here.
Okay.
But this is what they much prefer. And
okay.
This is what I believe they're hearing from folks who are desiring to buy the homes.
Right. And then just one more question, not having been on the commission at that time, too. Is there no parking on... I know there's no parking on the alleyway, but is there parking on, Road B?
Yes.
So there, you can park on Road B as well.
Okay. Those are my only questions.
And for a point of clarification, you've just mentioned a couple times the line of houses that faced each cherry that back into that alleyway, but it's both rows of houses that have that alley access into their garages. So it is, I'm assuming that row's been named at this point, whatever Road B is, but it encompasses both the East Cherry row of houses and the Sweet Pea Street row of houses that have that back alley garage
That's
access.
Correct.
Okay. I think mostly for clarification. So. The questions I have are for the applicant. So if the applicant or the applicant's representative would like to step up and add whatever they would like to add at this point before they get grilled by the commissioners.
Well, I'll just introduce myself. I'm Jeff Cooks. I'm with Wathing Castanos Homes, and we're just the builder down in the area, and I'm here representing our company, and we're going to just let Carol take over because she's got more expertise in dealing with you folks than I do.
Thanks, Jeff. So do you want to give me the
was a little technical difficulties. My name's Carol Florence. I'm a principal planner with Oasis Associates, and I am really happy to be here, and I know I won't be grilled, as the chair says, but our firm facilitated the specific plan. We actually wrote the specific plan, so whatever you see in there is absolutely our fault. I just want to say for those of you that were not on the commission, we went through a fairly lengthy process, back and forth to Planning Commission, back and forth to Council to get to where we are. It's an important project for the city. Again, this is sub-area 2. Sub-area 1 is on kind of the hard corner, if you will, of traffic. And sub-area 3 belongs to the Japanese Welfare Association. So it was an interesting mix. in a bit of a lengthy process, but there was a lot of engagement, and so that's why we are here today, and very happy to be here before you today. As Director McClish says, she typically takes care of substantial conformance calls. It's basically looking at what was originally approved and saying, I'd say that's within 10% of what we originally agreed to. So, but in this case, we had lots of discussion about parking. To the extent I probably have my old PowerPoints, we could go through all of the parking exhibits that we had, counting every street parking. So, you know, this, a lot of times, you know, not that we do things in a vacuum, but the best part of the process for me is the public outreach. And we had a lot of neighborhood meetings, and we learned things that really informed the design of this. That's why instead of having multiple driveways, if you will, along East Cherry, you have front doors and porches, and it's people space. It's people space, not vehicle space. Granted, there will be parking on East Cherry where there currently is none, which was hugely helpful. But there was a very concerted and considered effort about those alley load homes to the extent that they became all one story as well, if those of you remember how that worked out. So I'm just going to quickly flip through this, if you don't mind. Again, here's the site plan, East Cherry at the top, and you can see the 18 alley-loaded units. I thought it would be better just to bring you a photograph of what this means. You can see the Muni Code standards to the left, and we were able to comply with those. Our original design had you coming in and taking a very hard left, but now what has happened, we have been able to create some absolutely fantastic landscape architecture in the rear of these homes, so we're pretty excited about that. But you can see the 12-foot unobstructed to get into the garage. Once someone's in, I suppose you could park two cars if you want, or two and a half cars, depending on what kind of car you have. So it ended up actually being a fairly attractive. We're not painting it that way. Those are just shades on this exhibit so that you can easily see the dimensions. So I just wanted to take this opportunity, instead of just droning on about substantial conformance of guest parking, just to give you a quick update where we are, because I'm not sure everyone has an opportunity, you know, to see what the construction's doing. So the models opened, I think, just this last weekend. Thank you, staff, for helping us with that. So by all means, go out, take a tour. You will all be invited to the ribbon cutting. I think if we don't celebrate our accomplishments, I'm not sure we do what we do. So you will be getting invitations for that. It should be fun. And we're looking to close the first escrows at the end of the year. So you can see those are two examples of the houses now. Here we are under construction. Lots 49 through 53, if you can see up on the little site plan where these houses are located. So, and Wathing Castanos Homes really tries to give their buyers an opportunity to customize the homes. Different colors, different materials on the exterior, different things in the interior. So it's not really a very cookie cutter, if you will. The homes end up being very different. We had to plot them so that the adjacency of a similar house wasn't right next door to the other. So it was a very, very thoughtful process. The park has been completed, and the grass is so green it almost hurts my eyes. But we're very pleased with the way this came out. Very pleased with the way it came out. You can see, I don't know if I can do this here, but the top left photo is actually the large trees that we just planted, and that's screening between us and the mobile home park. So I think it works for them, and it probably works for us really well as well. So, and again, you can see that's a front-loaded model home, two-story. They're not all two-stories, but there are some two-story homes. But I think more importantly, only because you know, we're also landscape architects in our firm. We were very happy to be able to design some really fabulous outside spaces. So I'm glad that we were able to redesign the guest parking because it gave us a lot more opportunity to do some of these designs that you see here today. I think also these are the models, quite obviously, but it also gives a homeowner an idea of what they can do in their own backyard. And that's the end of my presentation tonight. So thank you very much for your attention. Thank you, staff, for your work to get us here tonight. And I would just ask that you find for substantial conformance for our guest parking. I'm more than happy to answer any of your questions, Chair.
Very good. Thank you. We'll start at the other end for this. Ms. Maravilla, do you have questions for the applicant? No. Mr. Shiro?
I do not.
Okay. Ms. Montez?
And looking at the staff report, it indicates that the developer started to rethink the design of the guest parking. Were there any stakeholders involved in that process, or was it strictly just the developer trying
to? Well, I think it was really based on once we got on the ground, if you will, and we were ground-truthing whether or not this come in and turn left or turn right was really going to function well. And I think that, you know, we were very happy to find within the city's Muni Code the opportunity to create this design. So it's really not unique or a one-off. We could find within that regulatory framework the opportunity to do this. So I think the bottom line is when we were counting parking spaces, when you talk about stakeholders, that's really was at the crux of what we were doing, making certain that we were complying with that obligation, if you will, in the specific plan itself.
Okay, thank you.
No questions.
Okay. I do have a couple of questions. And some of this is more kind of site-specific and I think more educational and kind of background. The parking that's on East Cherry, we have those little bulb outs. The space between that, these bubbles, are those long enough to accommodate two vehicles?
I believe that they are single vehicle loaded.
Okay, I don't know how long that piece is between those bulbs.
It's probably typically longer than 18. It might be 20. So
yeah,
we tried to fit as many as we could, but we also felt that having that bulb out with having the trees moved out toward that would just... couldn't do anything about the other side,
right,
but tried it on our side.
So two vehicles may be able to squeeze in, but in reality it's probably one and a half by design.
Okay. Yeah.
How big are these lots? Are they 5,000 square feet, or do you know that off the top? I apologize for kind of throwing number questions at you.
Yeah, because our minimum lot size actually was 4,300 in the specific plan. So fairly
small.
They're not.
But I was just trying to get a perspective on those lots that are facing East Cherry.
Yes.
And so they're somewhere between 43 and 5.
Yes.
Probably closer to that lower end of that range.
Yes. Yes.
But those were smaller lots with shorter frontages, which would impact how much street parking would be made available.
You just reminded me, Chair, that I think that we had more than 18 alley-loaded lots at one point, and there was a concern that they were too small and needed some more breathing room, so we ultimately ended up deciding on the 18, I believe, with the decision-making body.
There was an awful lot of conversation about sizes and numbers and things of that at the time. The driveway curb, I'm going to say cut in.
It's actually a rolled curb.
It's a rolled curb there, so that kind of answers that question. Because if you go to the picture where it shows your little two-color rendition of what the driveways look like there, that's obvious to me now just visually. Because originally I was thinking, gee, was the original driveway pad 12 feet wide and the curb cut only 12 feet? But we don't have that issue because of the way the rolled curb is back there. It's going to be easier. Okay, that's...
By adding that, there's no impact on the
when you're not cutting out a curb and pouring a new driveway cut in or anything. Perfect. That answers that question. The last thing I want to do is start adding expenses onto a development that I want to be able to keep as affordable as I possibly can. And then the original condition with this additional pad that was this hard right or hard left turn, did we condition that at the time that that be concrete, or could that have been just like a DG or some other kind of product?
If I recall, there was some flexibility so that because it was part of the backyard, if you will, that it could have been another paving material other than concrete.
So it could have been accepting and absorbing water and
exactly.
Things like that. It wasn't a hard surface that we're going to deal with water runoff and things of that nature. I was just curious about that. Those are the questions. The original driveway was 12 feet wide?
16.
Was 16.
Mm-hmm.
That's the door.
Okay. So now what you're proposing is, I'm going to say 12 plus 9. What you're really proposing is it going from 16 to 21 by adding 5 additional feet. You're giving enough for easily one, if not a vehicle, and a half to get in and out of that driveway, but allow adequate space for a vehicle to be parked on that side. And that is 18 feet from the edge of the garage to the curb, as is shown on here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is plenty long enough for a standard vehicle. Most vehicles will be able to park and stuff like that. Those are the questions that I have. I don't have any other questions for staff.
Thank you, Chair.
Does staff have any other questions for the applicant for any points of clarification you can think of?
No, I think they answered that lot sizes are actually, I look back on the tentative map, are a little bigger because they include, the lots actually include the alley.
Correct.
But the net is are probably right about 5.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to return it back to the commissioners for comments before I call for a motion. And that's Commissioner Shire, do you have any comments that you would like to make on this matter before we vote?
Yeah, just real quick. I mean, it's really, to me, this is one of those where, a developer and a builder, get together and you're trying to meet demand and trying to meet public, opinions and outcries and, okay, we need more parking, and then you get out there and you walk around and you go, this doesn't really look all that good. It's not going to be super functional. There's a better, easier way. The whole idea is that we get another parking spot, and they've accomplished that, and I think in a much more seamless way. So it makes all the sense in the world to me to find for substantial conformance.
Great. Commissioner Maravilli, do you have any comments you'd like to make?
No, I don't.
Okay. Mr. Sage?
No additional comments. Thank you.
Commissioner Montez?
None for me either.
Very good. I don't have anything more to add either. I think we've asked our questions, and I agree with Commissioner Shiro that this looks to me to just make sense as you come through with the final construction process and putting these houses in. I will make the motion and then seek the second, just hopefully make this go quickly. I move that the Planning Commission find the proposed method of meeting the guest parking requirements is in substantial conformance with the East Cherry Avenue specific plan.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is my motion thorough and complete enough to cover the issue at hand?
Yes, thank you.
Very good. I'll make sure we get that handled accurately as well. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Chair Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Sage?
Yes.
Commissioner Maravilia?
Yes.
Commissioner Montez?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Shiro?
Yes.
Very good. It passes 5-0. I appreciate your efforts in putting this together. It was clean and makes sense, and I think the solution makes sense as well.
So we look forward to seeing you on the 9th.
Is there a time? Do we have a Okay.
Oh, which party? Who is six?
Start early and stay till dusk. Is that what you?
And in between there, they'll have the actual ribbon cutting.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you very much. We look forward to that invitation. Moving on to the next item, is just the notice of administrative decisions. There were 4 administrative decisions made since our last meeting. Are there any questions from anybody on the commission about the decisions the staff made on these construction approval or zoning, whatever they were, these administrative decisions since the last meeting?
None.
Seeing none, we'll just move on. We're going to get out of here fairly quickly here tonight. Commission communications, anything, any comments anyone would like to say right now before we close the meeting?
Not me.
Yes, real quick. I want to apologize for my casual attire and not having a collared shirt on, but I wanted to wear my Rio Grande Beer Feast shirt. Just to say one last time before the event on October 12th, there are still some tickets available. Meals for Wheels is our charity. There's going to be 33 breweries and 14 restaurants, I believe. And we're really excited about the beer lineup this year. It's really coming together. We're really excited about the food, music by Matt Cross, and also the Crisp Tones. And hopefully the weather's going to cooperate. And even like the first year, even if it didn't, we still have fun because it rained on us the first year. So it's my805ticks is the website for tickets.
Very good. Thank you very much. Hopefully people have a safe and sane, sober ride home from the event.
Absolutely. We have designated driver tickets available for $25 as well.
Very good. It's good to hear. Any staff communications tonight? Oh, I'm sorry. Before we do that, I do have another commission. We are missing our staff in Matt Downing, and I know our last meeting we did say something, but not posthumously, because he's still alive and well and healthy and hopefully sitting at home and not watching our show here tonight. But
not far away.
We may be, if you have anything to add, I don't know whether there's an opening and how that front end of that is going on, but congratulations to Matt for finding a great opportunity in his career path. Publicly within the meeting. I miss him, I'm assuming, and expecting that the others on the commission miss his guidance and leadership as well.
Ditto.
Yes, Gizmo Beach is very lucky to have him.
Now to staff, please.
Thank you, Chair Martin, and of course all of staff wholeheartedly concur. We're certainly noticeably missing Matt in our office, and we wished him well at a celebration last week. And we don't have any news at this particular time in terms of recruitment, but we'll keep you posted. I did want to make a couple other announcements. One, we did go to the, I'm surprised that Chair Martin didn't talk about the planning conference that was held in the middle of September. Many, many sessions relating to housing, previous housing legislation as well as upcoming housing legislation. Lots to do there. And along those lines, the staff is bringing to council next week a request for authorization to submit for SB2 planning grant funds that we discussed here a few months ago. We are deliberating along with the City of Grover Beach in terms of housing consultants. We're trying to do our housing elements in parallel, and we are, hope to be able to award the second meeting, council meeting, in October. So that's the status of that. Once we get a consultant on board, we'll be utilizing commissioners and commission time for various aspects of the housing element. And that's all I have tonight.
I am duly embarrassed that I didn't say anything. Excuse me. I'm going to go back to that item on the agenda. I was fortunate enough to attend the statewide American Planning Association conference that was held in Santa Barbara. A low light was the fact that there were 1,500 people in attendance, so many of the little workshops were overpacked and underseated. But I did learn an awful lot. It's encouraging for me that there are a lot of other planning commissioners that are in attendance, and it's also impressive to me that there are an awful lot, not only professional planning staff from the very different cities and municipalities across the state, but how many consulting professionals there are in the industry, whether they're landscape contractors and engineers and people that do support you know, the activities and the research and the stuff that, you know, the work that's going on, you know, at the city level. So there's a huge variety of people that I was able to meet and chat with. One of my soapboxes, obviously, is affordable housing, and there were a number of workshops that I attended that addressed that issue. There were a number of workshops as well just talking about legislative changes, things that are going on in Sacramento, and what's coming down the pike as far as impacts on the local ability to make local decisions on zoning around both residential and commercial. And probably the third area that I attended and saw items on was just the desire or perhaps the need, depending on where you sit, I'll say politically on some of these issues, in the changing environment that we have around parking and access to public transit and the need to be providing a more diverse type of housing opportunities for people all along the continuum at the very, very lowest end of the economic spectrum, as in all the way through the variety of middle ranges of housing needs, as well as the upper end. And so there's very fruitful, you know, workshops, and I'm fortunate that I was able to take the time and attend down there in Santa Barbara. And I'm happy to, outside of the meeting, on over lunch or something, I'm certainly happy to chat with the fellow commissioners or anybody in the community if they so choose to engage me in some of those kind of conversations. There's my 2 minutes on the APA conference. I encourage, when we have the opportunity with the limited funds that we have, I encourage all the commissioners here to take advantage, whether it's a League of California Cities training and those workshops that I've attended over the years. This is the second APA conference that I've attended. And probably 5% of the attendees are planning commissioners, but I'm certainly not alone in that regard. It's encouraging to see that there are planning commissioners from throughout the state that come and are attempting to learn about just the planning process in our communities. That's all I've got. Unless there's anything else, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much. It's 6:40.